This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Mr. Hilton Peterson, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, man.
It's so good to have you.
So how are you doing? How was your day?
I'm busy trying to relax after last night.
We had
a show out in Mitchell's Plain.
Yes.
It was awesome. And still tired.
Wow. Okay, so praise and worship. What does it mean to you? And why have you spent the last 4 years gathering people around praise and worship?
Look, for me, when I initiated the idea of the Jesus Collective, was just, I'm from a small town called Aston, in the Western Cape, and I had a pastor friend of mine that obviously was, he had his church in Montague, and I had this idea of understanding at the time. I was good friends with SK, the late SK, who was one of the members that passed away, and then we were good friends with Mahalia and Lohiso, obviously, and I thought, how about bringing these people to just these remote places like Aston, Montague, and Robertson, and just fellowship? Because you know what, these people, even in their lifetime, I think people don't understand it, but there are people. The thought actually came from my grandmother when she passed away in 1998, and I realized that my grandma has not even seen Johannesburg.
Yeah,
my grandma has not even seen Durban. My grandma has not even seen a small place, Claver, something like that. So how would somebody who only sees these people on TV, how would they be able, a pen sinner, you know what I'm saying, how would they be able to see these people worship?
Sure.
And I saw when I go to people's houses and homes, I would see how they'd be on either on one gospel at the time. There was no trace yet. And they would just be so fascinated about these people singing. And so I just one day sat at this old grandma's house and I was like, okay, this is an idea. And so for that, the first reason was that, just to bring these guys out there for free, and they come and they have fellowship and in worship. And so this thing then basically just grew. And obviously in 2016, my mom passed away. And so for me, it was a very teary situation.
Yeah.
And a heartfelt situation that was very tough. It was one of my best friends I ever had. So when she passed away, I secretively just went into wanted to do nothing with God about the situation.
That's real.
And so for 6 months I was there. And so one night when the pastor then said, let's do another outreach, we had one for the full week, and we had Kolani there with Mahalia there. I was actually thinking the other day, a friend of mine in Cape Town also was singing at that week. Sevi, and so Sevi is for the first time, so he was also singing that week, and so we were out there, and in that conference, in that outreach, I think the Sunday morning, I just felt that heaviness leave.
Sure.
And so the evening when I got home, the Lord gave me his 1 Samuel 16, when the evil spirit was upon Saul.
Oh yeah.
And David came and did not preach, but just played music.
Yeah.
And the evil spirit departed. And so that is basically what then happened. And so it wasn't something that I started to now be in a space of worship.
Yes.
It is, I believe, it's a situation where God takes you to some space, and this space just develops and enlarges. And when the word says he will enlarge your territory, I think that is what it is.
Yeah.
God just enlarges your vision. So it gives you a snippet of what it is, but later on it just makes it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it was never a thing of, you know, it's a place like we all know, it's a sangant or concert. I've never ever had an approach of a concert. It was always a place of, I know how heartbroken I was. I know that how this thing was built from brokenness. So I'm trying to get music in a space to heal whatever is broken.
Yeah.
To those who are listening.
What a metaphor, though. Like, out of brokenness comes this beautiful oil of worship. You know, it makes me think about T.D. Jakes and the book that he wrote a couple of years ago, talking about, like, the pressing and the crushing. And so, basically, when you are in that moment, we call it an in-the-valley experience. You then have this oil that's coming out of you. But it's pure, because in that moment, in that valley moment, you learn how to rely on God, and you meet him in a different way. And I think it's really beautiful that now you can create an opportunity for others who wouldn't actually have the access to gather around or enjoy worship by such talented musicians, mm-hmm. but now they get to come together. So from your concerts, I'm sure there must have been amazing testimonies.
Yeah, obviously we sometimes don't, I'm just very, I don't like to make it like somebody, you know, you go in and have an outreach and you see somebody with a, and you dish out food and you post those things.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not, I don't, you know, the words is like, you know, where does the glory then go to?
Mm,
you know
what I'm saying? Exactly.
I'm not a person that believes in doing something for someone and showing what you're doing. So the testimonies that none of social media is aware of is such an amazing testimony. We were just thinking, somebody the other day, I was just speaking to a normal friend of us in the group, and I was just saying, explaining to Carl, like I said, Carl, you remember how you came here, what you were driving, who you were as a person, and looking at you later on, and see the development and the change and the transformation that God has done in your personal life.
Mm.
That's just amazing, just within ourself. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's one of the things that secretively, whenever I, without no one knowing, when I feel like wanting to give up, I'll get a DM, I'll get a WhatsApp from somebody and say, look, this person was at this show 3 days after in Utenek when I was there last week. The Monday morning, somebody got a breakthrough for a job, and it was starting the Wednesday.
Sure.
So those kind of things, and sometimes, you know, like it was, I was explaining them that when there was walls around Jericho, and the words that we understand is like, we think that the enemy can see us, we can see the enemy, but in actual fact, it's the enemy that can see us. Do you understand? And what does he see? That we have the Ark of the Covenant, that God is with us.
Yeah.
And so I just believe that whenever you do something in worship, that people need to see that you carry the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
That's
that
so
God
important.
Is with you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We believe that we were speaking about it last night, that we believe sometime that, and that will be the growth of the movement, I believe, that there's so many things that we in the group has to fix to get to a place of unity, so that we can demand that blessing. So that while you sing, that somebody, so we're not there yet, you know, but we believe that we will get to a space that we all show up in unity, that while we sing and while we worship God, that somebody will just walk from at the back, and whatever condition it was, that when they get there, that's no more there, just by us singing, because that is what this group has been based on.
Yeah.
And so obviously you have to go through a few things to get to the place. So unity just don't come and it's there. You have to go through a few things, losing people, losing members, getting new members, and develop and transform, and so you have to go through that until you get to a place of unity, I believe.
That's the one thing that I was really looking at it, because wherever the Jesus Collective goes, wherever they show up, it's jam packed. Like it's really, really packed, man. And so if there's one thing that I've understood when it comes to ministry, is that the body is a reflection of the head. And so because the head is where they are, the body then experiences everything else. And I mean, the Jesus Collective in its entirety is phenomenally blessed and so anointed. And so it brought me to a point where I'm thinking, what did Hilton have to go through? What trials, what valley period in his life did he have to endure for him to attain this level of anointing, but at the same time, this level of humility, you know? And so my question to you is, amongst everything that you've experienced and all of the accolades that you have achieved over time, what is the one lesson that so far you have taught and that you carry with you all the time?
I think it's one that I was taught by my mom. My mom always used to tell me that never despise small beginnings. That's the one thing that she always said. That was word based. It says never despise small beginnings was the one. And the second thing is that never look at people at face value.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what talent was put into them.
Sure.
You don't know what gift was put into them. You don't know what knowledge they have and understanding. So those two things is something that I forever will take with me. That whenever I meet people, that I would never think that I'm better than them. I would never think that they are higher than me. So I'm not intimidated by people who have more status than me. I'm not intimidated when people are, you know, celebrities, whatever the case may be. I call it like my auntie. So, those are the things that I say that for me, it's not an arrogance, but it's a place there where I just know who I am and whose I am.
Yeah.
Sure. And, but understanding that when you say who you are and whose you are and who you are, just also now not to, like I always say, my friends know, I don't fight with waitress, I don't fight with petrol attendants, I don't fight with securities, I don't fight with the least of God's people. That's not what I do, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's a thing of what there's a band that we many years used to have, What Would Jesus Do? And that thing...
I remember that.
So that thing for me, there's a few things that I struggled with in for a long time, until I put that wrist around my hand, the thing around my wrist, and things has changed in a way for me, but I took it off, but I then kept it in my heart. And so every time I'm in a situation, I would go, what would Jesus do?
Sure.
Right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's so important that, you know, you're talking about your attitude towards conduct, because earlier on, you're just demonstrating the fact that you walk the walk. And I think that's so important when you are in a position of leadership, is that when you preach something specifically, that you should also embody it. And so you do that. Tell us about your journey of faith. I do know your mom was very integral in your journey of faith, but can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so obviously I grew up in a we had a house as I was in primary school. And then we moved on and we moved to Aston, where I went to my high school years. And so when I got there, we first lived in a garage by somebody's house. My mom, my dad, my stepdad was building at the time. And then from there to a smaller shack. I think the shack was exactly the size.
Wow.
And so only a bed that was in there and a cupboard for my mom, you know.
Yeah.
And so we lived at my grandma's house. And from that in the morning, I have to take my brothers to, there was one cupboard that we had with all our clothing.
Yeah.
And then I would make sure that they were dressed in the mornings. And then one day on my birthday, while there was a flood in Aston, I became very innovative and I started to put petrol and burn down the sack.
Wow.
And so, because I was obviously humiliated because I'm not new in the town. So I was not introduced as Hilton. I was introduced as don't you know him? It's the boy that stays in the hockey.
Wow.
The guy that stays in the sack. So there was always an identity to put to my name, you know. It was not Hilton Peterson, it was Hilton who stayed in the sack. So yeah, as a young person, as you know, the enemy comes while you're young and he wants you to rail you for missing the calling, my God, what God has called you for.
Yeah.
And so, from that small sack, after burning it and after getting a hiding on my birthday from my mother, we moved to our plot and she just built a bigger sack. Now my mom prayed every morning 4 o'clock for this house that I did not see for 18 years. But the one thing that I realized with my faith was that my mom spoke certain things over my life and gave me dreams and gave me visions that today I see, wow, it's actually here.
Yeah.
But you would never, while you're in it, it doesn't make sense. But one day when you're out of it in future, everything makes sense. And so I had to understand, and then somewhere along the line, I wanted just when I pray the anointing for healing, and then I got terribly sick. And then I had to believe and have faith for my healing through my sickness.
Yeah.
And I think that was I would say my training ground for having faith, because the doctors couldn't find anything. They were still searching for certain things. It was just a horrible time. I lost around about 40 or 55 or 25 kgs.
Wow, that's a lot.
And it really affected me. I did think that I was about to go, and also lived like, you know, that time where because you think you're going, you live right.
Yeah, I've got a message on Facebook that came in as well. This one saying the music flowing like the anointing oil of gladness to give hope to people and is all about the glory of God. This is what is so amazing, and this is why the Jesus Collective's music is such a reminder of living humbly before God, sharing and caring heart of Jesus with the people. Thank you for your faithfulness and your humility as well. It has been an absolute pleasure. We need to say our goodbyes. We've got a couple of minutes before we're hitting news on top of the hour. But wow, what a pleasure it is. And an absolute pleasure, Hilton, to have you in studio. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for joining us, man. I know this isn't the last. This isn't the last at all.
I do hope that we can have more conversations around worship and the importance of worship and the attention of your heart when you're in worship. I think that's definitely something that a lot of us can, you know, use to improve our lives and just our experience of Jesus, because he's not just an object. He's a person to be experienced and to be spent, like, to spend time with. And not many people get that right, but I feel at the Jesus Collective, you do get that right. And it'll be great to have more conversations around that.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Hilton Peterson, the founder of the Jesus Collective, in studio with us this afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.